In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Who is God? The first question is not only of whether there is a God. Since we have two reliable sources of evidence or information about God available and recognized by all. The first is what is called the natural knowledge of God. Romans 1:20 says, "For God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." I usually put it this way: everyone has a built-in, or shall we say, written in our hearts or our DNA, first, the awareness that there is a God. Where did everything come from? Where did I come from? But there's a limit to our natural knowledge of God, for we cannot discover thereby, from creation, his essence or attitudes, other than coming to the conclusion that he is mighty and he's mad at us. Hence, every religion's system of sacrifices to appease this angry God. For that, the second necessary and reliable source of information about God is God's own word, the revelation of God himself in the inspired scriptures of the Old and New Testament. I like these three readings appointed for today. They're unique, I think, to our lectionary, for together they tell the whole story. First, that God created us. God created everything but himself and created everything out of nothing. How did you come to be? You had nothing to do with it. And ever since God set in motion the divine command, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth," he continues in that way to create every human being. The first reading of Genesis tells us of our creation. The second reading then tells how God has redeemed or saved us from sin and death. St. Peter puts into short sentences the entire plan of the death and resurrection of Christ for our salvation, the salvation of the whole world. Thirdly, today's gospel tells how this knowledge of and faith in God comes to all people, namely by means of the ministry of the word, the ministry of the Holy Church throughout the world, the ministry of administering the sacrament of holy baptism, the ministry of teaching and preaching God's word, his entire word by which God reveals his nature, being, will, and glory. This is Trinity Sunday. No human being has ever or would ever come up with a triune God. Hence the many efforts to deny it. But here, from the very start, God revealed this fact. You notice that, as in today's intro and elsewhere in the Bible, that it refers to God as Lord, spelled with small capital letters. And when you see that form in the printing of the Bible, it is telling you that it is translating the personal name of divine name of God, translated Jehovah, or as we prefer, the Hebrew Yahweh. But now notice, in Genesis 1, it refers not to the Lord, not even once, but only to God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, "Let there be everything." And the word translated here is very interesting. It's Elohim. And there, right off the bat, we learn the mystery of the Trinity. For that word is a plural word. As when you have a seraph, you have many seraphim. Elohim. It's a plural word. There's a plurality in God. In verse 2 in Genesis, we hear about the Spirit of God. But most mysteriously is the conversation God was having within himself at the creation of human beings, saying, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So the first thing we must say about God and our relationship with him is that he is our creator and everyone's creator. Not much further into Genesis, of course, you remember, we learn of the fall into sin with the result of death. And yet this God is not only the all-powerful creator and judge to be feared, but we are to learn that he has harnessed his power with his love. God is love. And you wouldn't know that unless you were told that. In fact, he loved his fallen creation so much that he came to rescue us into our world, to free us from the grip of sin and death, and restore eternal life in loving fellowship with him. And so it was that the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, so that he is now both man and God. We heard the second half of St. Peter's Pentecost sermon, first half we heard last Sunday, as he proclaims that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, came ultimately to die for us, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, being crucified on the cross by you, he says. But this Jesus, God, raised up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Finally, then, we hear the most explicit words of the doctrine of the Trinity in the Bible. The risen Jesus appeared to the apostles one last time before his ascension and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He had all authority as the Son of God, but now he has all authority given as true God and true man in one person. This is the crowning goal of the gospel. Our sermon title reflects this coming from another hymn. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory, now. The apostles were then given their marching orders, as he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. All people are the creation of God, and therefore all people are to receive God's salvation. And this is accomplished through the mighty word of God. The same mighty word by which God created everything now must deliver the good news of salvation to everyone in every corner of the world. Now, we're all familiar with the baptism of repentance begun by John the Baptist. Baptism was around for a long time for different purposes. But it is only here where we are commanded to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In that commandment, Jesus instituted baptism as the sacrament of initiation, where God, with water and his word, adopts us as his own and creates the gift of saving faith in us. So, we baptize everyone. But then there's also teaching. We baptize infants, and then we teach them what their baptism means. With adults, we usually turn it around the other way. And this teaching is to be of all that I have commanded you. And so this teaching takes a lifetime. Jesus is our only connection with God. As that hymn says, he from the beginning was the mighty word. At his voice, creation sprang at once to light. Humbled for a season, he came to free us from our sins. Now risen from the dead, he lives and reigns at the throne of Godhead. By faith, he becomes enthroned in our hearts. Looking for his final return, our hearts confess him King of glory now. Glory then to Jesus, who the Prince of Light, to to a world in darkness brought the gift of sight. Praise to God the Father in the Spirit's love. Praise we all together Him who reigns above. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.